Good morning. I have a fairly strong voice. Sometimes when we use a microphone, we get some back pressure, you know, so I'm going to try to adjust this thing to where that at least you can hear me. And I think you could without it, but we're going to go with the system here. Purpose of our meeting together this morning, and all of you already know, that is that we have met to glorify the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, and to give honor and glory to God. He said in Isaiah 42 and 8, I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. But now Bethel Church has always been, by reputation and by actual occurrence, a place where it was desired that the name of God be glorified. I've been coming to Bethel Church a long time. It's been a while since I've been here. But I came way back in the days when Brother Vern Jackson was pastor of the church, you know, and many of you I knew then. But now listen, we didn't meet here to talk about these things. We met to talk about the Savior. I am concerned today, as I've always been, that people of God might understand enough about the things of God that they could be like the prophet Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." If the child of God can keep his or her mind stayed on the Lord, and that's not easy, then he said that you will be in perfect peace. Now, when we talk about perfect peace, it just means complete peace, because we're not going to have anything actually in perfection in this world except the blood sacrifice of our blessed Lord and Savior and his resurrection from the dead. Those were the done to perfection. We don't do anything to perfection. But to me, the Apostle Paul spoke to the young preacher Timothy and admonished him to continue in the Word, you know, to study, to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he said, continue in these things. Now, here's the bottom line. That in so doing, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, what are we interested this morning, God willing, in trying to save the children of God from? One of the worst things that I have to deal with, and possibly you do, is anxiety. The world is coming apart at the seams. You know, I don't have to tell you that. If you can read or see, you know that that's the case. Now, the question was asked, I'm going to read something here in a minute, y'all. But the question was asked in the 10th proverb, no, the 10th psalm, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Is it something that the child of God needs to do differently just because that the world's coming apart? Absolutely not. We got one set of instructions, and that set is to be followed whether things are good or bad or otherwise. Jesus didn't design two or three different ways for his children to live. He said this, I am come that they might have life, and that might does not mean is a question that they might have. It, in this case, might is the past tense of may. English teacher, for a minute, you know. He said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the life that Jesus designed for the child of God is to be a life of fruit bearing and also of faith that believes that whatever comes, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Y'all excuse me. Sometimes I talk about the Savior, you know, I get emotional. And I'm glad I do. If I didn't feel anything in regard to him, what would I be up here for? So this morning, I want to talk about something that the world has just worn out, so to speak, in my opinion. And that is that the word lost, L-O-S-T. I was brought up in a situation where that I was told many, many different times that I was a lost person. And that if I died before I made some sort of a commitment to my Savior, and I'll tell you just exactly like one of the old men said to me, he said, if Houston were to die tonight, he'd go to the bad place, H-E-L-L, before they could get his shoes off. Well, you know, that's kind of hard. That hurts. That hurts to tell. I just didn't believe that. Somehow, no, I felt like there had to be something better than that in the kingdom of God. And so my dad made the mistake of carrying me to the Primitive Baptist Church where his parents had been members years before. And I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. And it's in the 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, the first verse. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, you know what? For the first time in my life, I felt like I was hearing something that was designed for the child of God. I knew I was a sinner. Am I talking too loud? I get kind of loud, you know. And I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I needed a Savior. I just didn't believe I was going to the bad place just because I had not said some words of certain kind to somebody down at the altar that actually didn't understand what I was saying in the first place. Now then, here's what we're going to, Lord willing, talk about. Now, you need to pray. This is not a one-man show. I want to talk a little bit about what God has said about his children and about how they're classified and whether or not they have a security in this time world. In the 95th Psalm, there's many, many places we could start, but in the 95th Psalm and the sixth verse beginning, he says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, and so on. What did he say? He said, we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, this is symbolic language. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to tie this statement and others to the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th chapter of the Psalms, because they form a trilogy. Just like everything, just about everything else in the Bible, you can count in by divisions of three. You know, three in the Godhead, and Jesus was in the earth 3 days and three nights. Whenever the children of Israel would worship, they would go 3 days journey in the wilderness and so on. So, here's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to look at these things and see what the Bible has said about his sheep and his children. Now, I want you to notice how he expressed this thing. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, he tied his people to a situation where that they were grazing, they were feeding on something, and they were feeding in a situation where they needed a shepherd. Now, I'm gonna express this to begin with. There's a whole side of difference between a shepherd and a sheep herder. You hear what I said? A whole lot of difference between a shepherd and a sheep herder. Now, a sheep herder is only interested in one thing. He's a hireling, and he is hired to move the sheep from one place to another, and that's all. That's all. And sometimes he's not really concerned about how he moves them. But a shepherd, my friends, will always open the door where the sheep are kept, invite them to come out, and then he goes and gets in the front and leads the sheep and the lambs. That's the difference between a shepherd and a sheep herder. Now, we have a trilogy here in the Psalms, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, where he talks about the Savior as being not only the good shepherd, then he talks about him as the great shepherd, then he talks about him as the chief shepherd. I want you to notice what he said here also. If you have your Bibles and you're open to it, go from the 95th Psalm over to the 100th Psalm. And he says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You notice in this second time here that he reversed the description. Over the other, we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now he says right here that we are his people and the sheep of his hand. So he has given two instances where he ties his people to the label of sheep. Now understand this. There's been all kinds of arguments and debates and so on about the sheep and the goats. I'm not interested in that stuff because the Bible just simply uses these terms as symbolic of the world on the one hand, which is the goats, and his people on the other hand, which are said to be sheep. Why is that the case? Well, I'll tell you right now. Whenever that you look at the nature of the goat, I was in a situation one time where I heard an old man that was a shepherd from the land of Lebanon, and he expressed today what this scripture meant here, and we're talking about dividing. You know, over in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, he says, you know, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he shall divide one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. I didn't have an idea exactly how that was illustrated. But this man that was from Lebanon explained it to me. He said, all of the different animals of various kinds are kept in a place called a sheepcote. This big enclosure that's made out of brick. And in the old days, they had thorns on top of it. And you know, the Savior refers to that in the 10th chapter of John. And he said this, there's only one door to the sheepcote. And he says, when the morning comes and it's time to take the flocks out, the sheep and the goats are all together in this one big enclosure. But he said, as they go out to pasture, to find pasture, he said that you'll see a difference made between the sheep and the goats. He said the shepherd will walk in front of all of them until he gets to a certain place in the valley where that the sheep are going to graze, and said he turns around then and faces his flock. He faces them then. And he says he has a staff in his hand. When a sheep comes along, he'll tap him on the right side of his head, and the sheep goes over here. If a goat comes along, he taps him on the left, and he goes over there. And the reason is that these will not graze together. The shepherd knows that the sheep are different from the goats, and so he separates them out. Now then, you say, well, what's important about that? Well, first of all, God says that we're the sheep of his hand, so that means that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we have a nature that is gentle like the sheep if we are a true child of God and a follower of his. But the goat, on the other hand, is a rough type of an animal. And it's just like the scripture said in the old about the, he said, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. They won't plow together. And the sheep and the goat will not graze together because the goats will push the sheep aside. So God separates his children out from the world. That's why that you and I are commanded to assemble ourselves together. We are to separate ourselves out from the world and the ways of the world and come together and with one voice glorify the name of God. Now then, you say, well, what's that got to do with what you're talking about? Just hang on a minute. Let's turn quickly over to the 50th Psalm. And I think we'll have something there that will give us some explanation of what I'm trying to get before you. What I want you to see is the fact that God has separated here in this world. He has separated his people out from among the world and has designated them as having the nature of sheep, so he calls them sheep. You know, he said in the 10th chapter of John, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then he said something that seals the deal. He said, I and my Father are one. So we've got a shepherd here, not a sheep herder. We've got a shepherd here that is described, and we're dealing with a people that can stray away from the things of God. Now, I don't want to confuse the issue here, so I want you to understand this, that children of God can stray away from the way of truth, and if they do, then, my friends, they can come to the point that they act like goats again instead of like the sheep that God has given them the nature of. Now, you know anything about that? If I could just say, you know, since I've been born of the Spirit of God, I never made a mistake. You know, begin with, that I was not telling the truth, because Paul said this, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So the child of God, even though God designates him as a sheep, and he separates them out from the world to feed them and to nurture them, we can still leave the fold and fall back into any kind of a bad condition. And here in the 50th chapter of the Psalms, he designates that. I think it's I beg your pardon. He just says, let me just speak of it instead of trying to go to it. He said, my sheep, my people have been lost sheep. Now, the world will tell you that the word lost means that you're bound for the bad place. My friends, I tell you what, the Bible does not agree with that when it comes to God's children. They can become tangled up in things of the world again, but God's children, my friend, can never be lost in the bad sense of the word. You know, Jesus said this whenever he spoke of this in the 6th chapter of John, I believe it is. He said this, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down out of heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that has sent me. And he identifies and says, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And I want you to notice that when he says, my people have been lost sheep, he didn't say lost goats. They've been lost sheep. Now, why were they called lost sheep? He said this, that they are like Balaam. Listen carefully. The hireling prophet Balaam, he said, they have forsaken the right way and gone after the way of Balaam. Now then, and prophet Jeremiah said it in this fashion. He said this, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that will hold no water. But these are not goats, my friends. They are sheep that are out of the way. They are lost. You know, the Savior talked about that himself in a parable. He said, which one of you, having 100 sheep, and one of them be lost? He didn't say he's dead. We're going to go try to find a dead sheep. He's a lost sheep. What's that mean? He has forgotten the way. He has forsaken the way. He's out of the way. He said, which one of you will not leave the 99 and go and seek that one that was lost? My friends, that's the mark of a true shepherd of the sheep. So here we are, we're talking about God's children that simply sometimes err and make mistakes and get out of the way. And that just simply means they're in the wrong way, not the right way. I love that, and I don't know whether I'm making it any clearer or not, but whenever the servant of Abraham was sent out to get a bride for Isaac, you know, it's a long story how that he went out and he was told to go back to the land where they came from, the land of Haran, and then get a bride there. And he's going, getting close to that land, and he stops at a well to water the livestock. And here comes Rachel out late in the afternoon to get water. And so this servant of Abraham kneels down and says, Lord, I'm gonna paraphrase now. I don't know how to pick this woman out. You're going to have to show me which one it is. And so he says, let the woman that I say, if she comes and waters the sheep, and I say to her, let down thy pitcher and let me have water also, let her be the one. And here comes Rachel out late in the afternoon to water the livestock. And the old servant of Abraham said to her, he says, give me to drink. Let your pitcher down and give me to drink. And she said, not only will I give unto thee, but to the livestock also, to the camels also. So he dropped on his knees now. If you don't remember anything else I said today, please remember this. This man dropped on his knees, the servant of Abraham, and he thanked the Lord for prospering his way. And he said, "Oh Lord, I thank thee, listen to this, that thou hast not left my master destitute of thy mercies." Oh, listen, he had promised mercy to Abraham, and he said, "I thank you, Lord, that you've not left my master destitute." Now listen, this man could have been talking about something for himself, but instead of that, he's talking about the one that sent him on the journey. And he's thankful for that. And here's what he says to the Lord. "I, being in the way, the Lord hath led me to the house of my master's brethren." Listen, my friends, there is not but one way that you and I are going to see the glory world, and it's through the shed blood and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Son of God and his imputed righteousness unto us. And Jesus said this, "I am the way," not a way, but the way. And so I'm here today to tell you, folks, that even though that the Bible says that my people have been lost sheep, keep in mind that the word lost here doesn't mean that they're condemned and going to the bad place. It just means at that particular time that they were out of the way. Peter said to the children of God over in his writings, "You were as sheep going astray." Now listen, you and I can get out of the way, but I tell you one thing, we'll have help to get back in the way if that be the case. I'll tell you one thing, the good Lord has spared my life so many times, I couldn't count how many it's been, and blessed me with so many different blessings, I couldn't live 1,000 years and name it all. But I'm going to tell you this, I was not a lost child of from the very beginning, though I was told that I was not a lost child. I just wasn't in the way with God. And when I heard the truth and understood the amazing grace of God, then I found people that were worshiping in that manner and joined myself to them. And I tell you right now today, folks, I wouldn't go back on the other side of my baptism for all the gold of Ophir and the cattle of 1,000 hills. You cannot buy, my friends, the peace that passes all understanding. And Jesus said to this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto thee. Not as the world gives you." Listen, the world will give you something that says, "Hey, listen, you just got to be satisfied with this. It's something you got to work out." But I'm going to tell you this, folks. The Bible says this, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace and through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It's 100%, my friends, the grace and the Almighty God. Ephesians 2:1 says it this way, "And you," me, "you, and you hath he quickened." I don't understand, folks, I'll be honest with you. When the angel appeared to Joseph and before the Savior was born, and he said, "Joseph, thou son of David," that was important. He was the son of Abraham and David. He said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I hear these people talking about how many people they have saved. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing, the way too late. My friends, if we believe the scriptures, it says exactly what it means, that he shall save his people from their sins. You know, the prophet Isaiah spoke about the fact that there was none to help. He said, "Therefore, his own right arm brought salvation unto him. Listen, he trod the winepress alone." Now then, I'm here to tell you today, though, that his people, that the prophet Isaiah called, that said that they were as sheep going astray. They've been lost sheep. They were just out of the way. Now, wait a minute. Look here. Listen, the scriptures are reasonable. The same prophet Isaiah said, listen, return unto me. Now, I'm going to ask a question. How can you return to any place you've never been? Listen, my friends. If you're returning to the Lord, it means that sometime, somewhere, some way, you've had some fellowship with Him and labored to glorify His name. He said, return unto me. Watch this. And I will return unto you. And He said, I'll take you one of a family and two of a city, and I'll bring you to Zion. And He said, I'll give you pastors and teachers that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Y'all have one of the best ones here that there is anywhere to teach the amazing grace of God. And you've got support systems. I'm not talking about just a select group at Bethel. Bethel Church has a reputation of being close to God and worshiping His blessed and holy name. So I want to say unto you this, whenever the scriptures talk about my people have been lost sheep, let's just ask this. Jesus said He came into the world to save His bride. Let's see what He said. He said, that's what I quoted a while ago. I came down out of heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which Thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again the last day. Oh, what's He talking about? John the Baptist helped us with that. When Jesus came there for the first time, John the Baptist ever saw Him, you know. He pointed Him out, and He said, He must increase and I must decrease. But he said something about Him that really and truly marks out what we're trying to say this morning. He said, He that hath the bride. Now, how many of you in here hath or have a bride? It means present tense, doesn't it? If you hath, H-A-T-H, a bride, that means you've already got one. Does it not? You English teachers, correct me if I'm wrong. He said, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And what did the bridegroom come today, come to do? The bridegroom came to deliver His bride from the clutches of sin, and to carry her to a place where it can no more be said anywhere, anytime, anyway, my people have been like lost sheep. Listen, my friends, when we get to the glory world, if you let me use some of my language, it ain't going to be nothing lost. All of it is going to be glory to the name of God. Now, I just say to you this morning, and we'll close, God gave us a formula for living. Oh, of course, there's several different places. The 34th Psalm gives us a one, and then the writings of 1 Peter. He said, He that will love life and see good days, let it refrain his lips from evil, his heart from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or avoid evil. For He said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and He attends to them. And I now exactly know what the next verse, word or two was. But I tell you where the specific instructions are given for you and me. And they are found in the first Psalm. I love the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalm. And I told you I was going to talk about all three of them, and I never did really get down specifically. But the 22nd Psalm gives more instruction about the Savior as He suffered on the cross and more detail than any place in the Bible. And in the 10th chapter of John, He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now then, 13th chapter of Hebrews, he said, the God of peace that brought from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, great shepherd of the sheep. And that's what David was describing in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, listen, my friends, how precious it is. Now, and Peter said in his writings, he said, listen, to follow peace with all men. And he said, and holiness without which no man will see God. Then he said this also, that and when the chief shepherd shall appear, then shall he glorify his name. I know this time for me to cease this dissertation, but just please do one thing. The first psalm in this book is the formula that you have to find the place to walk when fellowship with the Savior. And it says, blessed is the man, and you can put woman or child in there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now here's what I want you to watch. Listen, I grew up with some of the best people in the whole world and two of the best deacons that ever did display in the church. And everybody wondered why in the world that this man that was a deacon of the church there, Almon Reynolds, seemed to always make good crops, whether it was dry or wet. And he always had good-looking cattle. A mystery to the world. When you think about it, though, it wasn't a mystery, because here's what the psalmist said. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I hope and pray that God will give you the grace to walk in fellowship with him. And though we sometimes make mistakes and we may be out of the way for a little while, return unto him, he said, and I'll return unto you. God bless you is our prayer. Come on, Brother John.